Our passage is found in Revelation chapter 20. We read together first 8 verses of 21st chapter. Where we read that the fearful and the unbelieving, the abominable, murderers, whoremongers, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars, that is, people, souls, known for now forever their sins, which they continue, as it were, to commit, for they've never been forgiven. It says that they shall have their part, their portion in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Revelation chapter 20. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. And cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more, till 1,000 years should be fulfilled, and after that he must be loosed a little season. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus, and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again until 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. And when 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison, and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth, and compassed the camp of the saints about, and the beloved city. And fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man, according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Is there any more solemn, sober passage ever written in any literature, including all of sacred scripture, than the last 5 verses that I just read in Revelation chapter 20, just a commentary on itself to read this very sobering passage. A friend of mine I went to school with many years ago became a trucker and took his rig many places around the states, and he would come from time to time and park his rig in Hamburg and stay with us on Saturday night and Sunday night and get back in his truck on Monday morning on his way. And he said that especially the truck stops that were right before major cities were just hubbubs of all kinds of wickedness on the CB radios. And he said he remembers in particular being in one large truck stop in New Jersey just before he had to go into New York City. And he said it was packed with trucks, and he said it was just all kinds of wickedness being advertised. And particularly on the CB radio, there was all kinds of riffraff and wickedness being promoted and being sought. And he just got so tired of it, and he turned on Alexander Scorby's tape of reading the Bible and just turned it on, Revelation 20, verses 11 to 15, and just touched the button and let him read this solemn passage. And he said when he let his finger off the button, there was absolutely no one speaking for several seconds. And it took quite a while for, as you know, the wickedness would return to the airwaves. But he trusts that God struck some hearts that evening, and he would from time to time use that means to quench or quell the wickedness over the airwaves. And the Lord used him on many occasions to set up on Sunday morning when he couldn't be in someone's home, in a truck stop somewhere having a Bible study with one or two or three truckers. And he continued that for many years. This is a passage that people don't like to hear who are not interested in eternal things and in holiness of life and in preparation for eternity. The Lord Jesus, as we considered in the children's moment, has the keys of death and of hell. And you know, it's interesting, in the newer manuscripts it says hell or Hades and death. In the older manuscripts it says death and Hades. And really it is, we can argue over what occurs first, because really they're simultaneous. Because the body doesn't die until the soul leaves the body. As we're told in James, the body without the spirit is dead. But what occurs first, the death of the body or the soul waking up in hell? We could argue over that forever, because really it's simultaneous. So what occurs first, death or Hades? Hades or death? And we would say yes, because as soon as the body dies, the soul, as we're told in Luke, wakes up in hell. And so they're really simultaneous, but they're enemies to the souls of men without Jesus Christ. The Lord will annihilate death for you and me who know Him, all believers. Death's sting has been taken away, and the grave's victory is short-lived. That's why that cry, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? And what a blessed anticipation we have that Jesus will attend death's funeral, as it were. Death, it says, will be cast into the lake of fire. But for the unbeliever, death is not annihilated. May I say it, death is augmented. Death is extended. It's called the second death for the unbeliever. Though to him death is cast into the lake of fire, yet he experiences a second sort of death, a deepening of death that will last forever. What a horrible thought. Now, some passages isolate groups of people in the Bible, like 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 to 18, isolates believers when Jesus returns. They that are dead in Christ shall rise, and they that are alive in Christ shall be caught up in the air. That passage isolates believers, where the end of Romans, for instance, isolates unbelievers. But some passages distinguish groups, like the parables in Matthew 25 of the virgins, the talents, and the sheep and the goats, distinguishes believers and unbelievers. And you have the same thing here, where you have in Revelation 20 distinguishing believers from unbelievers. believers who where the second death has no power, no authority, but unbelievers who will be under the spell, under the authority of the second death forever and ever. And really, there are two groups ultimately. Whether you have, I don't know how many religions you may have in the world, there are still only two groups of people. Those trusting and those not trusting in Jesus Christ. Those saved or those not saved from sin. Those whose names are written, those whose names are not written in the book of life. For believers, death will die. The death of death. 1 Corinthians, the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death, because believers have eternal life. But for the unbeliever, there's a sequel to the death of deaths, we might say, is the second death. It's greater than all the deaths that they may have experienced previously. It's a deepening of death. It says, death and Hades shall be cast into the lake of fire, the Bible teaches. This is the second death. And it's interesting how the older manuscripts go on to say the lake of fire. So you look here at Revelation 20, it says, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire, verse 14. This is the second death. The older manuscripts go on to say the lake of fire. In particular, it refers to the lake of fire being the second death. So on both sides of this is the second death, you have the lake of fire given to us. This is the second death, the lake of fire. Death may be destroyed, but the second death takes over, if you will. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast, notice, not escorted, not they did not walk into the lake of fire. The Bible says they were thrown. They were hurled. It's a very strong word. They were thrown into the lake of fire. Sometimes we miss that. They are not treated kindly. Solemn passage. My proposition this morning is that those who trust in the Lord Jesus savingly have hope of death's end, eternal life. But those who have not inherited, been given eternal life, have fearful expectation of the second death, which is really an extension of death. And how serious it is to find life in Christ and not to dare to die without the Lord Jesus. Firstly, death is the first portion. That is, physical death is the first portion or installment of the second death. It says, death was cast into the lake of fire. This is referring to the first death, that is, physical death. So death for the unbeliever is equated with hell as a kind of holding place, but it's a holding place for the body. Jesus says, I have the keys of death. He'll open the door and our bodies will come forth, as it were, and we'll be raised incorruptible. But Jesus, as it were, stands guard over the body of the unbeliever. And he too will open that door, and the unbeliever will have a kind of a resurrection. The Bible infers it to be the second resurrection, if you will. But the resurrection of the unjust, as Paul preached, found in Acts 24:15. There's a general resurrection, but it's just divided. The resurrection of the just and the resurrection of the unjust. The rich man died, the Bible says, and was buried. There's his body. His body goes to the grave. His body is taken by death. But Jesus' burial was not the first installment of, or the last even, of his judgment. We believe that Jesus' burial and the burial of believers is the first part, as it were, of glorification. Christ's burial was with the rich. They did not cast him into the flames or the graves of criminals. Isaiah likens Jesus' burial. So often we don't liken burial, the burial of Christ, is something positive. You see, his resurrection was not the first part of his glorification. His burial was the first part of his glorification. His soul went to be in heaven to proclaim to everyone in glory that he had gotten victory over death. His body was being preserved without corruption. That's glorification. That's glory. As he was buried with the rich. But the death of the dead is in sin and is indeed grim. To believers, we can say, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? To the unbeliever, O death, thy sting hurts. O grave, thy victory has been secured. Death is the first portion of the second death, if you will. And secondly, hell is the second portion of the second death. The word hell here is the word Hades. It's a Greek word with the alpha in the front, which is the alpha that negates everything. Like atheist is without knowledge. Agnostic, without knowledge. Atheist without God. Agnostic without knowledge. Hades is Hades. It's without sight. It's the place of darkness. It's the place where they're without knowledge. It doesn't mean that they're sleeping. It just means they have no indication of what's going on today. Someone who dies without Jesus Christ has no idea what his family's doing the rest of the day. Or what's going on in politics, or what's happening in the news. They're totally without knowledge once they leave this earth. They're in darkness. They're in Hades. Now, obviously, this is personification. Death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. Again, you see the violence here. They were cast. They were hurled. They were thrown. The Lord is treating these as enemies as He casts them into the lake of fire. They are our enemies, and they are certainly enemies of the lost soul. There's no indication in the Bible of any soul sleep. The Bible says in Luke 16, the body died and was buried. The rich man died and was buried. But in Hades, he lifted up his eyes, being in torment. Though that may be a parable indeed, what's the parable teaching? Something very ominous. That the body dies, but the soul is conscious. The soul lives once the body dies. The Lord Jesus is teaching in that parable in Luke 16 that souls do not sleep, that souls are not annihilated when a lost person dies. In hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torments. The Bible teaches that people have consciousness after they die, guilt if they die without Christ, hopelessness and fear, and a kind of concern for those that are still alive without the Lord Jesus Christ. Hell is a real place, a real prison, but it is a temporary prison. It is a kind of holding center. It has an exit, because the Bible says that those in Hades will come before the judgment throne of God. And so we find that death is the first portion and hell is the second portion of the second death. Thirdly, judgment day is the foreboding of the second death. It's the precursor. It's the guarantee. And what you find in Acts 20 or in Revelation 20 is the judge, the judged, and the judgments. Those three things are found in this chapter. You have the judge, the judged, ED, and the judgments of the judged. The Bible tells us here that John saw one person. He saw a great white throne and him, one person that sat upon it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. A great is immense. There have been some great thrones like Solomon's and like other kings and queens in the past and present. But there will be nothing like this immense throne seen by multitudes at that great day. A white speaking of righteousness and holiness. A great and immense white throne. And who's going to be seated upon it? Acts 17:31, that God showed who He's going to sit on that throne. That He raised Him from the dead. This is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ seated on this great white throne. And as it were, the whole face of the earth and heaven flee away in fear. And there's found no place for them. That is, speaking of people, they seek to flee. As it says earlier in Revelation, they would wish that the rocks and the mountains would fall upon them and to stand before the face of the Lamb. Terrible scene. Judgment Day, as the judge is seen as one, not two, not many judges. There is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. And then the Bible tells us of those being judged. I saw the dead, those that are dead in sins, those that are dead without Christ. Small and great. In the older manuscripts it says great and small. Who are you going to see first when you're there? And the Bible teaches in other passages that we'll all be there. There'll be a dichotomy, a differentiation between the sheep and the goats. But I imagine that the people that we'll notice are the great first. We'll see those that were rich and famous, those that were in the headlines all the time, those that were on the TV screens, those that were in history books, those who died without Jesus Christ. And we can be sure that we can name some of them. We'll see Hitler. We'll see Mussolini. We will see some of these characters that have died without Jesus Christ. We saw in our generations their faces in the news, in the newspapers. But we'll also see the small, the nobodies, the people we've never seen before. The people that minded their own business. The people that were moral. The people that were never plastered on billboards and TV screens. All of them. The books were open, the Bible says. It indicates the omniscience of God. God knows. But they're persons, the Bible teaches. Nobles, rich, famous, heroes, notorious ones. But unknown, secluded, and ordinary people like you and like I. Persons. But then the Bible says the bodies will join these people. Notice it says in verse 13, and the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And in those days, obviously, the seas, the Mediterranean Sea, and other bodies of water, would gulp up numbers of bodies at a time in shipwrecks. Remember, Paul was on a ship with 276 people, and often these ships would wreck. Think about the bodies that have been consumed by fish and other creatures in the Atlantic and the Pacific and the Mediterranean bodies of water. But also included would certainly be the fire that has consumed bodies. That it says, not only did the sea deliver up the dead which were in it, but death. Death delivered up, that is, the graves. Look at all the graves around. This is one of millions of graveyards in the world. Death delivered up the dead which were in them. So this is referring to the bodies. And Hades delivered up the dead which were in them. So it's saying that body and soul will be reunited. There have been people that have tried to burn their bodies and have them scattered over the face of the earth to escape this great day. But such is the power and wisdom of God. Those very same elements, those very same bodies, the Bible says, will be regathered into a body that is fit for an eternal hell. where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. Interestingly, the Greek for is not quenched is the word asbestos in the New Testament, where the fire is asbestos. It is not, it does not quench its victim. There is no annihilation. So you have the bodies and the souls of people being brought before God. And it says that they'll be judged. Well, the Bible says that we'll all be judged, but in Christ, our sins and our failures will be judged, but we're in Christ. The believers will be vindicated in Christ. But the books, the records, the catalogs are open, and the works are being judged. You see, it's not just live all, if you're going to reject Christ, just go ahead and sin all you want. No, the Bible teaches as there are degrees of rewards for believers. There are degrees of punishment for unbelievers. Remember what the Lord Jesus said to the Pharisees. You shall receive greater damnation. There's not just damnation. There's greater and lesser damnation. There are degrees of punishment, and the Lord will be absolutely fair, absolutely just. What we need is not justice in the sense we need mercy, but in the case of Christ making atonement for our sins, we need justice. We need Him to perfectly atone for us. There is justice with God in us being saved, but at the same time, there's mercy with God in that we're not the ones paying for our sins, but there's mercy with God in that Jesus has paid for our sins, but there's justice in that He has perfectly paid for our sins and extinguished the wrath of God. The judgments are clear. There's not one mistake being made. Every degree of punishment is meted out at that great day. And there will every man will be judged according to his works. It seems like it will take forever for this judgment to take place. Time will stand still. There will be no calendars, no clocks, no wristwatches, no cell phones, no ticks of clocks. God has all the time in the world, and so shall we have all the time in the world at that great day. I can't even begin to think of the logistics. Terrible day, brother and sister. No wonder it says right very soon after the revelation of the new heaven and the new earth. You see how quickly it says, verse 4, God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Jesus could weep over Jerusalem that rejected Him. And so I believe that you and I will weep over sinners who will receive justice alone and no mercy. Judgment Day is the precursor of the second death. Death is the first portion. Hades is the second portion. And Judgment Day is the foreboding, the precursor, the guarantee of the second death. And fourthly, the second death itself is described in verse 14. And death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire, literally. Verse 14. In other words, what this is saying is the temporary becomes the permanent. The person that was in the Erie County Holding Center is now in the maximum security prison, and you can hear that iron door shut. Have you ever listened to a prison door being slid and shut and locked? And that's, as it were, what's happening here. Death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. Temporary into the eternal. The holding cell into a maximum security prison. A place where there was one exit. Hades. You see, they all have to exit Hades. Death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And you can almost hear the souls in Hades say, "No, I don't want to go to that exit. Keep me in Hades. lest I stand before the face of the Lamb. There's an exit in Hades, but there's no exit in Gehenna. No exit in the lake of fire. None. No exit. Five times the lake of the fire, literally, is found all in Revelation. Verse 15, and if anyone, whosoever was not found written in the book of life, was hurled. What a horrible sight. Hurled, thrown, cast into the lake of fire. The word is a Greek word, and Jesus used it in Matthew 13. Cast, they'll be cast into a furnace of fire. They'll be cast into everlasting fire, Matthew 18. They'll be cast alive, Revelation 19:20. And then this is equivalent to Gehenna, another Greek word found 12 times, all translated hell in the Authorized Version. Matthew 5:22, the danger of hell, fire, is a different word. Hell, the danger of Gehenna, fire. Matthew 10, notice, destroy both soul and body in Gehenna. You see how the lake of fire in Gehenna is different from Hades. Hades doesn't take the body. The grave takes the body. Hades only takes the soul. But Gehenna, the lake of fire, takes the body and the soul. And that's why it's accurate. Matthew 10:28, he will destroy both soul and body in hell. And that word hell is not Hades. That word is Gehenna in Matthew 10:28. And Jesus speaks of the damnation of Gehenna, where they'll have degrees of punishment when he warns the Pharisees. The second death itself is entered into, and it is, fifthly, forever. Where their worm dieth not, and the fire is asbestos. It is not quenched. It's unquenchable. And the reason why is because the bodies are unquenchable. Jesus described it as everlasting fire. Earlier in Revelation, the smoke of their torment goeth up forever and ever. That doesn't describe annihilation. You'll have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Revelation 21:8. And then Revelation 22:15, outside the heavenly city, are these that are described that we read in Revelation 21:8. I don't know. I can't answer. People have asked, will we see the smoke rise? For it says the smoke of their torment arose forever and ever, and they're outside the heavenly gates. There's an argument, well, how could our joy ever continue if we saw the smoke of their torment? There is an answer for that. God gives His people a righteousness. We justify God, for we deserve the same thing. God can observe. God is in hell, in Gehenna forever and ever. He's omnipresent. His wrathful presence is there. He's the one that maintains the fire and the indignation. And that doesn't affect His joy. And yet, God's people will have broken hearts as we see people hurled into that horrible place. The Lord will wipe away all tears. There's a note of finality in the words second death. It's not the death of death. It's the deepening of death. It's the extension of death. No wonder why Jesus said, flee from the wrath to come. The words forsaken of God are written over that place. As John Newton wrote the book, Oh, the Groans of a Lost Soul. Just open a portal of Hades today, if we could, and hear the groans of lost souls, forsaken forever. There's no second chance. There's no sleep. There's no annihilation. There's no gospel anymore. As it were, the keys are thrown away, and there's no escape. It's a serious truth. Whatever happened to hell, it's that we cease preaching it. It's ever a part of God's Word. And Jesus spoke more about hell than anyone else. I don't believe the saying that Jesus spoke more about hell than heaven. Just look in your concordances under the word heaven. Heaven is found in many. The word heaven has many, many more columns than the word hell. But it is true that Jesus spoke more about hell than anyone else because He is the Lord. Because He is its prison guard. It's no nightmare or science fiction. It's no joke. It's serious truth. It's not the invention of a madman. It is the creation of a just and holy God. Jesus spoke more about it than anyone. Isn't it therefore to be taken seriously? It is just. It is not overkill. We underestimate the holiness of God and the sinfulness of sin if we argue that hell and Gehenna are overkills. The gospel of Jesus, the incarnate God, is hell's only escape. They overcame Him and hell and all the rest by the blood of the Lamb. That is, by the ground of the blood of the Lamb. The reality of hell is a legitimate motivation to love souls and to witness. Is it, as the world says, scaring propaganda? No, it's motivation for propagation of the gospel. The Bible also tells that we overcome the devil who seeks to keep people under the fear and spell of death all their lifetime. They overcame Him by the word of their testimony. This doesn't mean that they gave their testimony a lot. It means that they preached the gospel a lot. It means that they continue to spread. You know, when we are silent and we don't facilitate the gospel, then we allow the devil to continue his headway. We allow the devil to have access and maintain intimidation of the soul. It is the gospel that releases people from the fear of death and bondage and hell forever. You and I need to facilitate the gospel. We need to spread the gospel message far and wide, to pray for it to be spread, to give that it will be spread, to go and spread it, to encourage others to spread it, to accompany those that spread it, whatever, to spread the gospel, brother and sister. This is how people are released. And you know, so often we lose the focus of the gospel of Jesus Christ, whether it be forms of worship, and we have forms of worship, or whether we have all kinds of peripheries that we focus on instead of focusing on the gospel of the Lord Jesus. It's a sober subject for conversation and study. It's a truth that causes us to give thanks to God for such a great salvation that He saved our souls from hell, a worthy reason to love Him. It's a reason for us to awake to righteousness and mobilize with the gospel. What shall we do with this truth? What shall we do with this doctrine of hell? Shall we merely have a mental recognition today? Shall it merely be data to us? We check a box and say we do believe in hell. Or will it be a motivating truth for us to pray, to facilitate the truth, to spread the word of the testimony of the gospel, and love not our lives unto the death? May our lives be warning shots to others to flee from the wrath to come. May we not shrink from this doctrine in church or in home or in conversation, wherever we may be. The devil seeks to intimidate us to be silent about this serious truth. May we be honest with one another and honest with the lost. They won't fall asleep forever. They won't be annihilated if they die without Christ. They won't be given a second chance. They won't be sent a gospel preacher to their prison to let them out. This is the only opportunity they have in this life. And you and I are believers. We have been given the key, as it were. Haven't we? Didn't He say to Peter, "I give you the keys"? No, Jesus is the one who has authority, but is He not delegating to us the privilege of the gospel that opens the prison doors and sets people free? Yes, we need the power of God. We need the Lord to open hearts. But we need to spread the gospel. The gospel of heaven and the gospel of hell to souls that they might be delivered, saved, unforsaken, hopeful of eternal life. You and I are able to sit here, be here today with the gospel being preached, with a Savior with an outstretched arms. But there are others that have never heard the word. Paul could say to the Corinthians, "Some have not heard this. I speak this to your shame." May God use us all, wherever we are, to spread this serious and saving message to people.